Exactly.
So the question that I probably hear every single year and forget the answer to is, why are we counting up and not counting down? When you're excited about something, you count down to this event. Like that big game or the wedding, you have your phone tells you exactly how many days until it's counting down, though. It's not counting up. So my brother-in-law, Moshe Arya Kushner, said, and he forgot who he heard this from, that when you're trying to when you're trying to knock days off, then you count down. Because another day knocked off, another day is gone. It's like almost like we're killing the time and getting rid of it. Whereas when we're counting up, we're taking every single day and thinking, how much did I accomplish? And now I just counted the 20th day. That means hopefully 20 days that I've been working and building to see that I'm going to get to Kabbalah's Torah with the right, whatever it is that I'm working on, with the right mindset, with the right midos, as we're going to discuss. And that's what it means when it says, Avraham Zaken Babayam, Avraham Avinu. What does it mean he came with days? Of course, everyone who's old has a lot of days. But he came with all of his days because he used each day to accomplish something. And that's why he was Babayam. So that's the avodah of Sfira also. We take the days and we bring them with us. So now we have 20 days with us, and then we're going to have more days and more days. Until the end, we have all the days with us. A lot of times it's hard to think at the beginning of Elul about Yom Kippur because we could be in the middle of who knows what summer program or camp heading towards Yom Kippur, or when it comes to Pesach, to start preparing on Purim for Pesach. But when it comes to Shavuos, it's laid out there for us because we start counting on the second night of Pesach and we're counting every single night. So hopefully one Yom Tov that we can at least prepare for semi-correctly, even though you'll still have that Shavuos Shmuz 3 days before Shavuos, even if you didn't prepare at all for Shavuos, it's still a time, but at least every night it's like, oh, so we started this in Pesach, we're getting to Shavuos, and we're Ba Bayamim, we're counting up and accumulating days as we go. And the famous Zug that they say is, don't just count your days, but make your days count as we're going through them. And another famous Vart is that the Korban HaOmer that we bring on Pesach was made from animal-type food, Seorim. That's what animals eat from, mostly. Whereas on Shavuos, you bring the Shtei Lechem. Lechem comes from Chita. Chita is the Meichel Adam. I think it's a verse from the Maharal. So it represents the transformation that a person, where we all are made up of two sides. Semi-Behema, we do a lot of the same things that Behemoths do, and Semi-Malach and Nefesh and Chelek Elokam Imal. So we're trying to transform from the Meichel Behema, represented by the Seorim, to the Meichel Adam, to the Chita. So we're going through a transformation. So the question is, how do we transform? That's the big base on the question. Hopefully we're answering a little bit every week. So this doesn't really have to do what we're going to talk about tonight, but I saw it on Shabbos and I said I have to share this with people because there's something to learn in Avodas Hashem from the following anecdote, which is, and there was this book called Siyum HaShas about how to finish Shas and remember it. I don't even know why they brought this. A guy wanted to quit smoking one time in an extremely fast way, so what he decided to do was pay for a billboard near his house, put his picture on it, and write, if you see me smoking in the next 30 days, I'll give you $500. So that was what he did. So I was thinking about it. It may be the most extreme Tikkun HaMidot move I ever heard of. But at least what we could learn from is that, and the idea of a kanas, like people talk about, you know, if I get up late, I'm going to pay this. I'm not so sure if it works. If you find that might work for you, you could try it. But an alarm clock, but some people struggle. I may have hit snooze one time. Maybe some people here have overslept a little bit. But the idea of working on something as a tzibur, so we don't need the billboards. Baruch Hashem, we have each other. So to be Megala Das, at least that, you know, we're going to work on the midos that we're going to discuss tonight, or in general, the midos that we're going to avodas Hashem together to put it out there. Meaning, this guy could have done it by himself and said, you know, I'm going to stop, and in the next 30 days, it's going to be over. But he decided, no, I got to take a move. I got to take a stand and do something. So he did something a little bit crazy. But everyone on their level to put it out there for the avodas Hashem and tikkun midos. So how are we going to do it more practically in billboards? Pirkei Avos. It's the minhag of Klal Yisrael. I hope that everybody has seen this sefer, Kuntres Binyanei Yimei HaSfiras HaOmer. It's unbelievable. It brings a ton of Mar Makomos. If you haven't seen it, you should try and get one. So first he brings all the different Mepharshim that say there's minhag to learn Pirkei Avos on the Shabbat in between. It really goes from Pesach all the way to Rosh Hashanah, but at least through one cycle, it's not all the way to Rosh Hashanah. He says, what's the pshat that we're learning Pirkei Avos Dafka in this time? There's a lot of different Mar Makomos. Most importantly, he says, if ain derech eretz, ain Torah. Now, derech eretz can mean two things in Chazal. One is it can mean parnasa. If you don't have parnasa, then you're not going to have Torah. But derech eretz also means, like they taught us when we were younger, it means derech eretz. If we don't have those midos that we're connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that way, there's not going to be a Torah. But zeh tishkon haTorah alav, and that is the way the Torah is going to rest on the person. She'ein shochenes olam beguf, she'ein o bal midos tovos. Because the Torah cannot enter a person who is not a Baal Midas Tovos. He says, not only is this a Tanai, like on the side, that, well, it's a good thing to have the Midos. He says, this is a Tanai that comes Kodem. Tanai, the Tikkun HaMidos who together Yetziras Kli La'Asagas HaTorah, Ubeliz Zeh Eina Adam Yachol Liklod HaTorah. Kevan De'Eina Torah Sheches Beguf She'Eino Baal Midas Tovos. The Torah is not connected at all to a person's guf that does not have midas tovos. And finally, he brings from Chaim Vital, that tam, and what's the reason why we don't see anything? You read through all the psukim of the Torah, you don't see midos mentioned there. You see, after the kamocha, why don't you say anything about midos in the Torah? You know, some sort of pasuk that references it. That tam delo nechtavu midos b'torah tzivoy mefurish b'torah hu mishum titikun hamidos. Similar to one of the shittas about Emunah. The machlokas, I think, the Rambam and the Ramban, if Emunah is a mitzvah in the Torah, and one of them learns it from Anochi Hashem Elokecha, and one says, you don't need to learn it from somewhere in the Torah. If you don't have Emunah, you didn't even start the Torah. That's the Hakdama. So too, a person being a Baal Midos, it's the prerequisite to everything that we're doing in Torah, not just another aspect of Limud HaTorah. So I figure what we do tonight is have a couple of us speak about one of the Kinyanei HaTorah. In the last parak of Maseches Avos, there's a whole list of things that we run through for a person to be Kone. How does he become this that we're trying to describe, a Baal Midos, and be able to make a Kinyan on the Torah, not just to learn Torah Misaf of Elachutz from the lips and outwards, but to learn Torah so that it goes deeper and deeper inside. So there's a whole list over there, and sure, there's a lot to be said on every single midah that's there, but there's also a way to hopefully understand the midah in a short version that we could take it with us and build on it from a couple of words that everybody here is going to, not everybody here, but the people who knew about it are going to share with us a midah from the Kinyanei HaTorah. So, is it Menachem?
Yeah.
Menachem, you want to go first?
Here, we'll go.
Yeah. Okay, go for it. You need a...
No, it's fine.
Okay, good.
Okay, the meter that I'm going to speak about, the meter that I looked, that I saw, that caught my eye, I guess, are tons, are 48 of them, I think. But one of them that I saw talk about was Sichlus HaLev. Right, Sichlus HaLev. Okay, so I looked around, and actually, Sichlus HaLev, it's the, I guess, intelligence of the heart, right? So, okay, I'll get to exactly what it's saying, but... Basically, I looked around, I couldn't really find anything that said, you know, that gave a clear definition, or I didn't understand what it was saying, so something came to me that I thought maybe it's a tiny bit of a stretch, but I thought it was a nice shot for it. So what's the opposite of, like, intelligence, right? Foolishness. The opposite of intelligence is foolishness. And how do we say foolishness in Hebrew when we're referring to it, or whenever you see in Sifrei Musar or whatever? They always refer to them as being a kseel, or a kseelit. So I thought to say that what separates one who has seichel, one who has intelligence, right, from a kseel, the only thing that separates them is just a shin, right? The only thing that separates a kseel, a fool, from one who has seichel, one who's able to apply their knowledge. We've seen, just quoting Pathway to Prayer here, Pathway to Prayer says that when referring to Haskell, what is this? One who is able to take the knowledge and Torah they have and apply it correctly in a halakhic way, you know, to take it and be able to apply it correctly to halakhic maisa, right? So it's the idea that we're supposed to, you know, live our lives in a way that's correct. So what's the difference? It's a shin being for Shamayim, I thought to say. Because when we live our lives to Yoshamayim, we're constantly thinking, you know, that's the thing that separates us, being a fool and one from being someone who's a Yiras Hashem, one who lives his life in a correct way.
Very intelligent. Very intelligent.
Okay. All right, so I didn't know it was specifically from Pirkei Avot, but I saw in the Togo for Yom HaTzmoet, so one of the things, I think it was Rabbi Reuven Leibowitz, so he said, we really have to focus on Achdus now. It's a very controversial day, we all know Yom HaTzmoet. There's, you know, opinions going from Tachanun to Halach, to Bracha, everywhere in between, so we have to understand that even though we don't agree with everybody and we might disagree, there's no mitzvah to like fight with people and to get them to agree with you. The mitzvah is, like Rabbi Singer explained before, is Bapalechah Kamocha, like we say, Zek Pagod of the Torah. And he also said that we know the famous story when the Ger went to Hillel to try to convert, and he said, Al Regal Acha, so he said, don't do anything to other people that you don't want done to yourself. And the rest is commentary. So again, we see that we have to really treat everybody with respect, even if we don't necessarily agree with them. And we know that the second base of Mitzvah was also destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, not because of learning, of a lack of learning. There was a great Torah growth at that time, but we know it was destroyed because of Sinas Chinam. And the fourth point, which is really important now, is that all Rabbi Akiva's students died at this time during Sfiras Omer because of Sinas Chinam. They were also really learning, really strong, but they also had a problem with Sinas Chinam, so that's why they all passed away. So now that we're in this time of Sfiras Omer, we have to work on this need of Achdus and really try to, even if we don't agree with people, try to respect them and get where they're coming from.
So over Pesach, I was reading the book by Rav Dr. Tversky, Avram Tversky, that Simcha is not just happiness. So people always want to say, I want to be happy. So if you want to be happy, like what does being happy mean? So everyone's like, oh, I always want to be happy. So we have to understand like what it means. So if you like, look in the dictionary, go to dictionary.com, the definition they give you is feeling or showing pleasure. So if happiness is the essence of happiness, everyone's supposed to be happy, is just feeling or showing pleasure. So that by definition means that if you're not feeling or showing pleasure at this moment, that means you're not happy. So that really can't mean like what, that really can't be what Simcha really is. So Shimshon Raphael Hirsch like sheds a different light on this. He says like two words that have similar roots, they must be like somewhat related. So the word Sameach and the word Semach, they're both similar. So Semach means to grow. So in order, so Simcha is contingent upon growth. So in order to really be happy, like to be consistently happy, it's like if you're growing, then that, by definition, according to that, you're going to be happy. So I'm just going to say like a few things, like Dr. Tversky said, like different definitions of Simcha. He says one is being like you're fulfilling your desires are fulfilled, like the Simcha of doing a mitzvah, like the self fulfillment, and like accepting Hashem's judgment. Like you accepting Hashem's judgment, then that's also a din of Simcha. So he also quotes, which I found interesting, an ancient atheist legislator, Salin, he understood that Simcha means, it's not a definition, it doesn't mean the gratification of desire. So he says you can't understand if someone's truly happy until the end of his life. Because Simcha is dependent upon a result that someone's living up to his entire potential. So like you're saying, every single thing, like the idea of Sfiras Omer, like it's a little different idea, like just not putting the bulletin board right there, but Sfiras Omer, like taking one day at a time, like slowly but surely, like one day at a time each day, like hopefully we'll be growing, hopefully getting simple and fulfilling our potential, and then we'll have a happy life.
The meat I'm speaking about is miyut tzchok. A little ambiguous, but it means miyut tzchok. You could translate either as you should have less tzchok, whatever, we'll get to tzchok in a second, less of that, or maybe none of that. The Gemara in Brachos talks about pasuk that we all know, the pasuk says, "Azimal eschok pinu." Then we'll have eschok pinu, meaning we'll fill out eschok then in Olam Haba, but not yet. We're not there yet. And the Shulchan Aruch brings this down halacha that you're not supposed to have eschok yet in this world. But too much. Not sure what that means. Not no eschok at all, or maybe a little bit of eschok. Eschok means laughter, enjoyment. What does that mean to that extent? Just an aside. The Rav, I heard this from Feldman quoting the Rav, that he said that. We know the pasuk we say in Baruch Nafshi that Hashem plays with the Levyasan. So what does it mean he plays with the Levyasan? I've heard many shirim that you need some downtime, you need some time for relaxing. The Rav wanted to say this was for Balachsa Bedrachah, that Hashem has a certain perspective on the world and everything makes sense to him, and he knows what to take seriously, what not to take seriously. You could certain things don't take as seriously. For us, we can't exactly see that so clearly as Hashem, obviously. But to a certain extent, we have to understand not everything you take so seriously. But there are certain things that you have to take seriously. But there are definitely things that you don't take too seriously. But to take things in a very light way all the time is very bad. There's a pasuk in Mishlei, which I don't remember the exact question. I think it's late bikesh chachma ve'ayin. I think that's the pasuk. And so Chazal say that pasuk is talking about a malik. Normally when we think about a malik, we don't think of a clown. We think of a malik as, I don't know, some scary monster or something. We don't think of a clown. So the way that Rabbi Solomon explained it was that a leitz is not a clown, it's a scorner, a scoffer. Someone who looks at things and he belittles it and makes it not important at all. And when someone has this midah of scoffing at things, looking at things and really thinking it has no chashivas at all, so then it has a chance to ruin everything. You have no chance of ever gaining anything out of Moser, of gaining anything anywhere, because you just think, oh, that's not important. You laugh at the guy, this guy's a good idea, you laugh at it, okay, what does this mean, who cares? And I think it's a big problem that sometimes people, especially in certain scenarios, that you look, you take a Moser and you say, oh, that doesn't apply to me, like, this guy, what's he talking about? And we don't take Moser seriously enough sometimes. So I think that we could get from Miyotzchok, again, the very ambiguous what exactly what they mean by Miyotzchok, but I think it's clear that it means that to a certain extent you have to balance things. Some things that are seriously, you have to take seriously, because if you take everything seriously, you get caught up in the details, and that's also no good. You'll get too caught up in whether you do anything. But things that are meant to be taken seriously, you shouldn't scoff at it. It shouldn't be like a mulleg and make it into a big joke and miss the main point. This is just an idea that maybe we could bring to more practical. Sometimes when we're learning B'chavrusa, so it's very easy to get caught up. You think of one joke pops into your head, you want to make the joke, and you want to say the joke, and of course it's important to keep the chavrusa lively and make things not dead. But sometimes one joke, another joke, and things, it turns into half learning, half jokes. And you can learn a lot more if you just try to hold back just one joke. Just when you're thinking, when you're learning, try to think, okay, this one joke I won't say, the next joke I'll say. And sometimes it's very fun to say a good joke, but you can learn a lot more and gain a lot more Torah if you just hold back just one joke per chavrusa. And I think that if we hold back on making jokes when they're not necessarily necessary, so we can gain a lot more and grow a lot more in our Torah.
I think that's a couple of other points are that if you look at the structure of Pirkei Avos, you have five talking about Midos Tovos, and then the sixth parak is about learning Torah. So in one of these pages here, I couldn't find it tonight, he explains that that's the idea that we're describing. Chazal designed it that we would learn all the Midos Tovos to become that Kli, to become Derech Eretz Kadma Torah, and then the last parak is called Kinyan Torah, because it's preparing us. And there are 48 of these different midos that are mentioned in the sixth parak. So I'm not sure from where, but they say that you take one for every day of the Svira, 48, and then on the last day you do Chazar on all the midos, even though we may have missed the first 19, it's pretty quick to go through the first half of the list. And then one possibility for a Kabbalah is just to at least know that it exists. Like when you hear about Miyotzchok, it's like not a midah that's at the forefront of our mind. There's another one that I wanted to mention, which is extremely important, which is Shimush Chachamim, which is the serving, but I'm not sure how to put it into one word. Being Meshamesh Tamidei Chachamim is being around and being with Tamidei Chachamim. Says the Gemara in Brachos Zayin Amud Beis, Gedola Shimusha Shel Torah Yoser Milimuda. Sometimes hanging out with a Talmud Chacham is more important than learning from a Talmud Chacham. And Daf Mem Zayin Amud Beis in Brachos says, Afilu Kara Vishana. You may have learned Sukkim and you may have learned Shas. But a person who was not, I don't want to call it hanging out either, but wasn't meshamish tamidei chachamim, hareza am haaretz. Person is like he didn't get anywhere, because a Rebbe, a Talmud Chacham, is not a means of information, because that's the same as an encyclopedia. The Rebbe is the living, the Torah's Chaim. He is what is showing us, and I'm going to read you a quote from Ravovi in a second, showing us what the Torah is supposed to do, the effect that the Torah is supposed to have, the Mahalik HaChaim that we're involved with in the Torah. Says Ravovi in Ale Shor Chelek Rishon Daf Ayin Hey, B'zeh she'adam niyeh Talmud l'Rabo, by being a Talmud of a Rebbe, who mischaber el hasharsheres hagedola hamiskasheres osanu el Moshe Rabbeinu piya gvura v'mekabos the Torah kitzurasa. A person is connected to the Rebbe, who is connected to his Rebbe, all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai, all the way back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's why The Gemara asks, how could you be Davak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It was like a fire that could burn us up, being Davak Hashem. No, it's being Davak to the Talmidei Chachamim. And a person who does it gets the Tzura. And he describes Smicha. He says, even though Smicha doesn't exist the way it used to, he says, the Tzura Ha'amita Midor Dor Ad Sof Kol Adoros, that's for sure. And then another one he says, he quotes these two Gemaras in Brachot about being Shamish Talmidei Chachamim. He says, Shimish Talmidei Chachamim Yesod Kol Ha'aliyah. This is the foundation for all of a person uplifting in Avodas Hashem. Kama drishas ha-emes, kama hisbatlus, how much is a person really after the emes? How much is he willing to nullify himself for what the Torah represents? Kama avas bikores, tzricha lekanin v'leiv talmid, zarota lorak lomen mirabo, ala gam l'shamsha. So a person has to be ready for criticism, because the Rebbe should tell a person you're making a mistake or doing something wrong. So a person who's being Mishamish Talmid Chacham has already gotten through a lot of stages in terms of, you know, wanting the emes and getting there by being Mishamish Talmid Chacham. So why is it that we see a lot of weird things that go on in Kali Yisrael? And we have a lot of major gedolim from all the realms of Kali Yisrael, from the Hasidim and onward. You'll find strange things happening in all groups. And if you were to speak to the tzaddik or the rav or whoever was the founder of this movement or this mahalik, they would, you know, if they're here, they could address it. And a lot of times they're not here anymore. You're thinking, like, what are these people doing? What in the world happened? You had a major kach, a talmud chacham, and then people who are so off, they're doing the strangest things. So the pshat is very pashut. Shimish Talmidei Chachamim, a person who's Mishamish a Talmid Chacham, it doesn't have to be the person who made this Malach in Kali Yisrael, but he has Talmidim and he has Talmidim and he has, there's always a way to connect to some sort of Masorah. When a person takes it in his own hands, like, you know, I could pick up this farm, I could learn on my own without the Shimish Talmidei Chacham, all types of strange things can happen, and that could explain a lot of the different things that are happening when we look at them and we say, this is clearly not the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Could be even Keneged Halacha, it could be Keneged Hashkafa, whatever it is. Shimish Talmidei Chachamim. So that's why a person has a Rebbe, he has a Mahalich. I remember a Gevaldige Meister that Rav Meir Goldbach said when he came to Torah Shraga, I think it was last year, that he was standing with Rav Shlomo Zalman Orbach on the Erev Yom Tov, and he saw a list of women's names and numbers in his pocket. And he's thinking, you know, maybe if it was Pesach, he's thinking, you know, a list of matzah factories or mitzvahs that he has to do, and Erev Yom Tov and selling the chametz. What's this doing in his pocket? And you can never learn this. I don't think it's going to say this anywhere in Shulchan Aruch, and maybe not even Musar Sfarim and Ashkafa Sfarim. This is not written anywhere. But he asked Shlomo Zalman, like, Rebbe, what's going on? What's this list? Like, it's very strange. That, you know, especially women's names. It's weird. So he said, This is a list of almanos. And I call these almanos Erev Yom Tov, because if I don't call them, they don't have their husbands. You know, who's going to call them? Who's going to take care of them? And there's, you know, other gedolim. Rav Shach said that his ticket to, it wasn't Rav Shach, Rav Chaim Moses said his ticket to Olam Haba is not going to be the Achiezer, which he wrote, which Fran describes as like the all-encompassing sefer from Halacha to Hashkafa. His ticket is going to be, they took care of almanos and Yisomim. Person sees Sukkim that talk about taking care of Almanos and Yisomim, and could see the halachas of Erev Yom Tov, and never put them together until he's Mishamish Talmid Chacham, like Rav Goldbach is Mishamish Shlomo Zalman Orbach, and he sees what is he doing Erev Yom Tov. He's calling these people to give them the Simchas Yom Tov. So by being with Talmidei Chachamim and being with people who carry the Masorah that we have all the way back to Moshe Rabbeinu, which connects all the way to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we can learn from what they do, from what they don't do, from what they say and what they don't say, and things that we can't get anywhere. It's a Torah Chaim. It's not just information. It's a mahalas that hopefully we're all going to pick up on. On that note, it's a little ironic because I spoke to Rabbi Reichman, and I know that he's speaking upstairs at the moment, but I did speak to him this week, and he was my Rebbe when I was here in YU. He told me that he spoke to Rabbi David and Rabbi Gordon. I don't know if anyone has spoken about this, and that he would like to form like a chevra of Torah Shraga guys. What? Well, he's doing something?
Yeah.
What, for everyone or for?
So the,
yeah, what is it? Yeah.
Doing like this, Hasidus for Tarshaga at 7:20.
So he told me, he spoke to Ray David and Ray Gordon, that he wants to get a couple of guys from Sirius Hebra in his shir, and that, you know, he wants it to be an interactive shir and a lot of geschmack, and he thinks it could be a very good idea that could be for be a different speed than any other shir, which I happened to be in his shir at the time. It was very different in nature. But what I can tell you is that the one thing that I'm still holding on to very strong from my days in YU is Rabbi Reichman, because his warmth, his perspective of the emes. So whatever happens, whether you're there tomorrow night or whether you're in his shir or not, you should definitely, you know, if you're looking for Shimush Talmidei Chachamim, I remember asking him all types of questions, and he's accessible, he lives in Washington Heights. He's a tremendous wellspring of emes and Mesorah. We lived by the Rav for 25 years. He's writing the Rishimas. He's around here. I speak to him all the time. You can speak to him all the time. Just as an option of Shimush Talmidei Chacham, there's plenty of Talmidei Chacham out there. But since Rabbi Reichman is opening the doors and looking for it, because he feels a connection to Torah Shraga through Rav Moshe Nechemia Shlita and through knowing everybody, and especially the new guys, if you're coming back looking for a place to really connect, he's involved in everything Tov and everything MS that you want. So Halavai, we should all be Zocha to come to the Shavuos with all the Memches, Kinyanei HaTorah, and the Mekabel Torah BeEmes. I brought some Mezonos. I'm really sorry the Blondie factory is still out of luxury. Yeah. Oh yeah, there's a new cover. I forgot to say his name, but the best. I know a guy who underlined every line in the whole paper. He quotes like 20 Marvel comics per paragraph. Yeah. Look at it.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah.
I went like.
No, I don't know, but I just know, like,
I don't know.
Oh, you want one?
What?
You were a little bit something.
Maybe you should do public speaking. Maybe you should do public speaking.